Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
John McClain joins us, as he does each and every Friday here on the show. John, always great to catch up with you. How are you feeling?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Looking forward to preseason game number two. What are some of the storylines across the league you're eager to pay attention to this weekend?
I'm interested in the game between Cleveland and Buffalo to see Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen, how they do again. I've got the Texans playing the 49ers here after they had practices against each other the last two. So interested in them and, of course, anything going on in the AFC South.
Agreed. And Chad, I know you're down on Josh Allen like most are. I can't help but watch some of the practice footage and think, man, this is going to take some time. But the preseason games will give us a better look at that.
Yeah.
John. One of the things, he's going against A.J. McCarron, who hadn't played much himself. It'd be something. What if Nathan Peterman plays,
well, Peterman,
plays real well?
Peterman received some first-team reps this week.
Yeah, I don't know if that's – Josh Allen doesn't need motivating. He just needs to throw the ball accurately, which he's never done. I don't know. I've never seen a quarterback who was that inaccurate who became accurate in the NFL.
So, John Elway yesterday came out and said – and he was asked about Colin Kaepernick being a viable option because of their quarterback situation there. His quote was, you know what, and I said this a while ago, Colin had a chance to be here. We offered him a contract. He didn't take it. As I said in my deposition, he's had his chance to be here. He passed on it. Was this known before this happened yesterday?
Yeah, because he's talking about when they were trying to get him from San Francisco when he was still under contract there. So they offered him a contract, but it was a contract substantially lower than
$4
the contract
million
he
less.
Had.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was going to make $12 million on April 1st, and I don't blame the Broncos for not wanting to guarantee him $12 million. For one season, players have to take pay cuts all the time when they switch teams. I don't blame Kaepernick for turning it down because he was still with the 49ers. It amazes me the way the 49ers don't get criticism for cutting him and not re-signing Eric Reid. Reid said he would re-sign with him for the same thing he made last year, $5.5 million. They have no interest. Nobody ever says anything about that. It's like they're Teflon. But the problem with this, you're not supposed to even mention anything about a deposition. That's a violation of the gag order. It'll be interesting to see what the judge says about Elway mentioning it.
John McClain with us on the Midday 180.
John, where do you rank Mike Evans? I can't get off the Mike Evans train. We see a big-time receiver so rarely on the Titans practice field. I think he's the best one that's been out there since Marvin Harrison just after 2000 when the Colts practiced here. Before the AFC South was formulated, he's obviously in the other conference. We haven't seen him that often. I'm wondering how highly you think of him and where you think scouts rank him.
He was from Galveston. He was a great basketball player. Some people thought he was better basketball than football coming out of high school. And then when he went to college at Texas A&M, he was good, and he had great size. And I'll tell you a story about him. When Johnny Manziel was coming out, Evans had another year, I think. And I can't remember if he got drafted then or not. And I went to San Diego and spent a day with him. And James Lofton, Hall of Fame receiver, now broadcaster, he was there working with Evans. Evans and Manziel were staying together. And so I went to practice with them one day. And Lofton said, come out here and stand with me. I'm going to show you something. So I went with him out to a hash mark. And he said, now stand right here. Evans was on the goal line. At the time, Mike was about 6'4", 235. Lofton blew his whistle. Evans comes flying off the goal line running a 40. And as he got close to me, I'm standing there, and James goes, now don't move, don't move. And Evans goes flying by me, and the hair on my arm stood up. And I said, my God, how would a 5'10", 180-pound cornerback or a safety, 6'205", stop that? He said that's one reason, the size, the speed. He said it's almost unfair today, the size of the receivers compared to the size of the cornerbacks. And I was just blown away.
John, is Dez Bryant going to get a contract in Cleveland? He left today without one.
Yeah, I'm sure he's got a lot of options. You know, if Josh Gordon comes back and he's playing opposite Jarvis Landry, is Dez Bryant going to be happy being three? What if Antonio Callaway continues to excel and stay out of trouble? Dez Bryant going to be happy being number four? I don't know if I'd want him up there around Callaway. You know, they've got a lot of loose cannons up there based on what we've seen from Hard Knocks, so why not throw him into the circus?
Callaway stood on the sideline of practiced. It was so obvious that something was up that two coaches approach him and say, "Hey, man, what's going on?" And he doesn't come clean that he had been pulled over the night before and cited in some way, shape, or form for possession. What's the biggest secret you could remember a guy working his way through? I know you were in the middle of some pretty crazy stuff with the Oilers.
That never came out?
Well, that didn't come out as soon as it should have come out.
Well, I'd have to think about that when I can't think right now about, because back then so much was covered up when it came to arrest. There was no social media. I guess one time when one player went to his car wash to get his quarters one night and he was being robbed, he pulled out an Uzi and opened fire and ended up shooting one of the guys and never came out till after he retired. And I said, "What in the world was I doing then?" He said, "Oh, we were able to keep it quiet." Today, I don't think so.
John, ESPN says they're not going to show the national anthem prior to Monday Night Football, and that they only did it three times last year. A network senior vice president told Richard Deitch that they showed the anthem three times last year, and, quote, "News will dictate whether or not we will show the anthem. We have seen the data. Fans want the game." Is this a turn towards just getting back to a little bit of normalcy when it comes to the pregame national anthem and the coverage of it?
Yeah, we'll see if ESPN can withstand the onslaught of our president saying they're unpatriotic by not showing it. I hope they can, because I wish they just do like they did and then before they changed it, because of flyovers, just leave everybody in the dressing room till the anthem's over.
John, two guys I'm really enjoying watching Hard Knocks, and I did not think this going in. Todd Haley is one of them. Tyrod Taylor is the other one that I really enjoyed getting to know those guys a little bit more behind the scenes.
Tyrod Taylor's had that reputation. He told Hugh Jackson, who every time I look at him, I think assistant coach, not head coach. We told Hugh Jackson that deal about taking a picture of all those guys dogging it, then showing it in the big room, and you'd think that's the kind of thing he would show anyway. Haley was kind of a loose cannon when he was a head coach at Kansas City, kind of had a screw loose. You know, he wasn't long for the head coaching world. And, you know, watching him talk upside down on that contraption he's got for his back, you know, that was – they left out the thing where he and Greg Williams were exchanging F-bombs and screaming at each other, and I sure wish they'd left that in.
Does the team get some sort of final cut on that? Cooperation with it.
Yeah, you're not supposed to be able to edit it, but if there's something, they'll talk to you about it. So everything doesn't get in there, and that would have been the best thing about camp so far.
Well, the biggest thing that was missing was Coleman going in saying, "I want to be traded," and then he was traded, and there was no Hugh Jackson and John Dorsey discussing it. There was no phone call to Buffalo.
Well, they teased it at the end of the episode for next week.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's kind of old news next week.
Yeah, I agree. I just wonder if they didn't want to devote a whole episode to it.
Unless Corey Coleman does something against them in this preseason game.
Now, I have talked with Dave McGinnis, John, about Hard Knocks, because he's very familiar with those camera crews behind the scenes at a couple different stops, and he says they are as professional of a group behind the scenes as you could ever imagine when it comes to filming and editing and getting coaches to watch the final draft before it's actually public.
And they have those cameras in the rooms, and some coaches, I can't remember who it was, insisted no camera in my office, and they didn't do it, and he wanted the privacy. Sometimes I don't blame them. But I tell you what, it can make not stars, but he can sure make you pay attention to a person like Todd Haley or Greg Williams every week on my station in the morning show after Hard Knocks. All the guys on there are just killing Greg Williams.
John McClain, you can follow him on Twitter at McClain_on_NFL. John, thank you as always, and we'll catch up with you on Tuesday.
Guys, thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Yep, you too. Feel better. John McClain, who's on the mend with the broken arm, shoulder, elbow.
Toe.
He's feeling better, but
we call him Sweet Chuck.
He's still on the golf cart at practice, so what do we call him?
Sweet Chuck.